Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. So good to have you back with us today as we think about Jesus and all that he's done. I'm excited about today's message. We're actually going to go to ancient Bethlehem. If you look behind me, we've got a picture of the ancient Bethlehem, and we're going to just kind of peruse through the city today and just pick up some details that the gospel writers have left us as we think about Jesus. Remember that. We're going to think about him deeply today. I just want to give some announcements. It saddens my heart. Many of you knew Brother Isaiah. He passed away a few days ago from a massive heart attack. Talked to his wife and Celia, and she's in shock right now. So pray for her. Pray for the entire family. There was no previous heart conditions. Lord just felt need to call him home. And so just pray. It's been a tragic loss. He was very active in our mail corps and our Wednesday night Bible studies, always asking questions and giving wonderful comments. And my heart is really saddened when I think about that. Physically, he's gone. But I'm excited because I believe with all my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength that he knew Jesus. His service is planned for New York. They've sent his body to New York. I think this coming Wednesday will be the service. So pray for all the details, especially as we're dealing with COVID-19. Actually, before we go any further, I want to just pray over that family and all those who are going through in this season. So many people are missing loved ones. We've had a tremendous loss in the entire world and the United States. I want to lift up California and the stresses they're going to, and other states. I can start naming them off, but California just comes to our heart. Of course, North Carolina, as we are dealing with, and all the frontline people that are out there and risking their lives. And thanking God for this vaccine that's coming in to assist in this fight. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we just lift up the Corbin family. Give them peace. Father, they've got a lot of arrangements to bring together, and especially just weren't expecting this. But thank you, Father, that they were secure in knowing who you were, that you give us everlasting life. Thank you that he had proclaimed you as his Lord and Savior. Oh, would you give his wife wisdom and understanding, and the kids and everybody that's connected, his extended family, as the body is sent back to New York, and all of that come together, especially in these weather fluctuations and COVID-19, we just pray a covering. Lord, I lift up those families who are just missing people, Lord. Just their hearts are empty today. And I pray today's message as we go to Bethlehem will help them to think deeply on you, Lord. And so I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your tremendous mercy. Lord, help our church family to be healed, that we may be all that you would have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Continue to reach out to the Corbin family. If you need her number, Celia's number, just text me or send me an email and I'll get you that information. She welcomes all calls and acts of kindness towards them in this day and time. I want you to not forget about ebcnc.com. Just got so many things that are going on. In a few weeks, I'm excited. I don't know the exact date, but we're going to have an app. Our own EBC app, the Lord is truly blessed. There we'll have a prayer wall. We'll be able to communicate more efficiently amongst each other via that app. Like the tragic loss of loved ones within the church or someone that's sick, we can get that information out quicker, in a quicker manner. If weather issues, when we get back to the church, that app can be used for that. So a lot of interactivity there. Check out our ebcnc.com. Got a lot of things going on there. Upgrades, trying to make it clear for you. Got blogs, podcasts that are going on. So much there. Sermons, just things to help us to be edified. We even have a Bible on our website now. The Lord is just good to that, good to us in that. Don't forget about our different Bible studies we have there, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays. Try to keep up material there, again, so that we can grow in the Lord. Don't forget about your Bible reading plans. We're pretty much finished for the year. We're going to start a new one on January 1st. So wherever you are, hey, keep pressing through. If you want to start fresh with us on January 1st, we're going to jump into. I've heard so many good things. things as we walk through the scriptures together and been praying together. It's blessed my family as we just walk through over and over again looking at those scriptures. We want you to interact with us when you see those prompts or you're on YouTube connected or on our website. Hey, put some interactions. Give a shout out to the church family. Some shouts of amen, hallelujah. Even some questions can be put there when we have our live. Our Bible studies are usually live, but we can actually interact. So we just thank God for that ability to connect with one another. I want to look at our giving scripture today, 2 Corinthians 9:7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that 9:8, it says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Isn't that good? God said, I'm going to provide for you. And as we are going through our day, going through our week, don't forget how good God has been to you. We're often reaching out for more stuff, but just take a moment to just bask in his glory and say, God, you have been good. Thank you, Lord, for this moment right now, for being able to breathe, being able to praise you. It is very important never to forget how good a provider God has been. Well, after this next song, we're going to go to Bethlehem. I've got a lot of thoughts that I want to get off of my heart that God has just ministered to me. I know you're going to be blessed, so get those iPads out, those Android devices, paper, whatever you do to take notes as we go through our points for the day and we jump into the scriptures and we see the wonderful things God has revealed in his word. Talk to you soon.
Oh,
Aren't you glad that Jesus is Lord of all? I am. God has been so good. Well, I'm excited about this message today. We've got a lot of notes to get into and Bible background, just as we take a journey to Bethlehem today and just see what nuggets God has left us in understanding the wonderful things that he's done for creation. Before we get started, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for this time of an encounter with you. Lord, you've been so wonderful, and we just praise you. I pray for those that are looking and listening in right now. Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know you, would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Now, Lord, as I approach this word, do it very carefully, Lord. I just ask you to guide me. And so, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. You've never failed. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed and be like you. Forgive me of my sins, Lord, and help me to focus on the cross. We thank you for your anointing that changes us from the inside out. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As we get into our message today, I told you earlier to get those notepads because we're going to be going through some points today as we take a trip to Bethlehem as we are having an encounter with God. We're almost finished with this series. We've got today and next Sunday will be our last one in the series of Encounter with God. And then we're going to go to some more scriptures and just press in as God is transforming us in this strange, peculiar time, but a blessed time at getting to know the Lord. As we get into this section of scripture today, I want you to focus in on Luke 2:19. Luke 2:19. It reads, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." I want to read that again. Luke 2:19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." I want to speak from a title today, Think About Jesus. Think About Jesus. As we enter into this section, remember we have traveled from Abraham and we dealt with the prophet Samuel. And now we're going to the place of Bethlehem. Bethlehem, a beautiful place. This is a place is known as the place of bread. And what it means is you get nourishment from Bethlehem. As I think about Bethlehem at this time, it's between 0 BC to around 5, somewhere in there. So we've got that actually a little bit before that turn to that 5 right after that supposedly date that Christ was born. The reason we have that, there's some differences in time frames when we look at our particular calendar. So when you look at the calendar, you have BC and you got AD before Christ and or AC or AD after Christ. And so all those things kind of come together. But Christ's birth really change everything as we think about our salvation, and that's what we're going to be dealing with today. The reason Christ, Joseph, his daddy, and Mary, we know that Mary was a virgin at this point. Joseph did not know Mary. They have to go to Bethlehem is because of a census being taken. This census being taken of the king of that time meant that everybody had to go back to their home place, home birthplaces, and this was for tax purposes, taxation purposes. So everyone's making it back to this particular city where everything is going on. It's bustling. People are just trying to find a place to stay. I've had to travel many times in my life, and there's sometimes when you come in when there's a whole bunch that's going on, it is tough. It is tough to find a hotel. And imagine all of these things are coming on, and then here comes Joseph, Mary, the virgin, that has Jesus on the inside. And all this has been done by God, His Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to go to Bethlehem today, and we're just going to kind of walk through the city. We're going to walk through all the details. And I pray today that God will be able to speak to your heart, even as we try to understand more about what Christ has done for us. I want us to really, really think about Jesus. Let's jump into Luke 2:7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I want to read that again. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Here's our first point: a simple beginning. A simple beginning. Now, as I think about this process, and you think about God could have allowed his son to be born into royalty, a nice place, but we pick up this point and it's just very simple, a simple beginning. And even as we're thinking about Christ and we're processing all of this, I want you to ask yourself, what is the Lord trying to tell me as I think about Jesus? E.E. Henson, he captures the scene here. Listen to this. With no midwife to help, Mary wrapped baby Jesus in long bands of cloth, such as were used in wrapping the bodies of the dead. And that he was born to die is perhaps intimated here. A manger is a cattle feeding trough. No room for them in the inn. All these things suggest poverty, loneliness, and even rejection. The exact date and place are not recorded by Luke, perhaps to guard against the vain worship which men often attach to such information. This is important to note, because Dr. Luke, he has so many very detail-oriented, but there is no date given to us. Theologians from all over the world have striven to find out when is the exact date, and they've come to a point of thinking that this probably took place around a September to October time, simply because we're going to deal with the shepherds and how they're able to deal with the environment that's around them. There are no trees, there are no lights, there are no presents. It's just Jesus, Joseph, and Mary. Darby expressed it really nicely. He said, he began in a manger and ended on the cross, and along the way had nowhere to lay his hand. Isn't that beautiful? So we see this whole process that Jesus is going through for us. Think about Jesus. Interestingly, the birth of Christ is only written about in two of the Gospels, Matthew and Luke. And you ask yourself, why didn't all the Gospel writers write about this? It is a wonderful time. And I want to give you some reasons, possibly. John reminds us in his Gospel that Christ has always been around. Yes, he's always been around. His birth was a part of the redemption process, but Christ has always been around. Let me show you what John says in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:2, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So all of this John brings up, he said he's always been around. This is just a part of how he can step into our humanity and be our sacrifice. But even before John's writing, Christ is pictured in the Godhead, the Trinitary Godhead in Genesis 1:26. I love this portion of scripture. Then God said, let us, plural, make man in our own image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Think about Jesus. Look at this next portion of scripture, Luke 2:8-9. It says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Here's another point. Simple shepherds. Simple shepherds. Yes, this whole process has got us to this point. So a trough, we're focused on that manger Jesus is born in. We've got Mary, we've got Joseph. There's not a lot of fanfare that's going on. They're in Bethlehem, the place of bread. All of these things are going on. Now this is a special place, Bethlehem. Remember David in the Old Testament, one time he desired a drink. He said, man, if I could just have a drink from the wells in Bethlehem. And remember his mighty soldiers, they went into Bethlehem, got that drink, and he realized they had risked their lives for him, and he pours that water out as a sacrifice. This is a special, special place as we think about Christ being born here. But notice God pulls in not the Pharisees, not the Sadducees, but simple shepherds. Why choose simple shepherds? John 10:11, it says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus would say this, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. God wastes nothing. And when I say that, everything that God does has a purpose. It's all in the details for God. This encounter with God was not revealed to the high elite. No, it wasn't. As I said, it wasn't to the Pharisees or the Sadducees, but it was with simple shepherds. W. MacDonald, he reminds us, he says, the first intimation of this unique birth was not given to the religious leaders in Jerusalem, but to contemplative shepherds on Judean hillsides, humble men who were faithful at their regular work. Think about Jesus. Now, as we process this, I want you to put yourself in that picture, and you're there. Think of yourself as someone that's coming in, and you're a news writer, you're a reporter, and you're trying to get all the details. Luke 2:10, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Here's another point, the simple truth. The simple truth. Now notice within that scripture, the angels show up, or the specific angel says, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. A simple truth. And he says, for there is born to you this day in Bethlehem, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There's not a whole bunch of detail in here, but we get the point. The angel of the Lord lets them know, don't be afraid. Man, this is to be peace to your heart, that the Christ has taken on the flesh of humanity. Isaiah 9:6, prophet spoke this. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. John spoke of the eternality of Jesus in John 1:14. He said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Think about Jesus. Isn't this exciting to think about all of these things that have come forth, that God has always been through Jesus a part of that? Jesus has always been there, even in the creation, and now he comes into humanity again to save us. Luke 2:12, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Here's another point. The simple sign. Yes, the simple sign. So all of these are coming. God is, he's made this in a simple form that we can understand. Dr. Luke, he records this. He gets all these details out. He leaves other details that we don't know. But within that, we're pulling all this information in. Notice in this scripture, the swaddling clothes were put on that particular child. At that time, this was a normal thing that would be done. Oftentimes, mothers would swaddle their children because they felt that they had to kind of tie them down to keep or allow their limbs to grow straight. We don't do that particularly, but we do a type of swaddling. I remember when our kids were little babies, we could kind of wrap them up a little tight, and they would actually get comforted. They would go to sleep. And so that type of swaddling was used at that time. But there's a strange part of this. Notice he would be in a manger or a trough. This was a place where cattle would come and they would eat out of or drink out of. the baby would be laid within that manger. Please understand, throughout the Old Testament, we've seen Christ. You say, where did we see Christ? Remember the theophanies? I've taught about that, where Christ would come forth and he would come in the vise. He had not taken on the flesh that we see here within Luke's gospel, but he's always been there. Professor of theology Farstead confirms this thought by saying no one had ever seen the Lord as a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. The second part of the sign was that he would be lying in a manger. So this babe, he's saying, okay, these signs here, we've got to look out. That second part, he's going to be in the manger. It is doubtful that the shepherds had ever seen a baby in such an unlikely place. This indignity was reserved for the Lord of life and glory when he came into our world. It makes our minds dizzy to think of the creator and sustainer of the universe entering human history, not as a conquering military hero, but as a little babe. Yet this is the truth of the incarnation. Isn't that beautiful to think that, again, he could have came any other way, but he chose to fulfill the prophecy for you and me. Think about Jesus, Luke 2:13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Here's another point. Glory to God. Yes, glory to God. Now, realize we've been walking through this. We're reporters here. We're getting this information in. We've seen the picture of Mary. She has that child, and now there's an angel that speaks to shepherds. They're in a field. We've got all this information, but notice something else. A multitude of heavenly hosts occur. Notice that 2:13. And the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying this, glory to God. Now, as I've done some studies and we've gone through the scriptures, but I just want you to know that it wasn't just one angel was said before, but these were all types of angels in this heavenly host. Remember, we've talked about seraphim and cherubim and archangels. They were all there to celebrate Jesus, to celebrate his redemptive process. Their song that they sang, it's very familiar to us. It's called Glory in Excelsis Deo. We say that, and this was saying glory to God. Thank God for what he has done. Luke 2:15, and so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Here's another point. Love this. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. So as we get a little deeper in there, I'm just walking through the text, and that's my desire. So I've been just praying through this, just to walk through the text. There's a problem that the text presents. How did they know the exact place to go? Now, we know they're looking for a baby that's swaddled. They're looking for a baby that's going to be in a trough. We understand. But remember the preface that we came into Bethlehem. We're there for the census and taxation and all the people around. It's a bustling place. It's huge. And all these people are there. We're going to look for a baby in a manger. And we got to sift through all of those. Bethlehem was so bustling at this time. How could the shepherds say affirmatively that they're going to get there? They knew Jesus would be found in an animal's mangers in these swaddling clothes, but exactly where in Bethlehem did they know to go to? Many have hypothesized that they were looking for a guest room or an animal pen of a type. Some have said they were looking for a cave to find Jesus in. But note how specific their reply was. Notice they said, I want to go over it again. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. This is problematic because they ran in. Were they running into Bethlehem looking around? Many theologians have agreed that the possible place, listen to this, was Migdal Elder. Now, as we're going through this, some of you are like, I have never, ever heard that. And I'll be honest, as I've been digging in the scriptures and looking at background text, I had never heard it. But I want to give you another thought that can actually bring this story together for us. A stone cave-like tower was Migdal Eder, where the sacrificial lambs would actually be birthed. Yes, at Migdal Eder, within that Bethlehem area, this is where the sacrifices of the lambs were made. Remember, sacrifice at this point were very common. This was to sacrifice unto the Lord. This was all a part of the Old Testament where God said, I need you to bring these sacrifices. Let me give you a quote from Diane Wiebe, a renowned Bible curriculum writer. She says, Migdal Eder means tower of the flock. Walk with me through this. You might ask, what flock? The answer is the flock that produced the lambs for sacrifice in the temple at Jerusalem. Each day, lambs were sacrificed at the temple, and during holidays like Passover, thousands of lambs were sacrificed. The lamb sacrifice had to be without blemish, so special shepherds raised this flock of sheep. Oh, you're walking with me. Think about Jesus. She goes on. She said, let yourself think about this connection for a moment. The Lamb of God being born among the lambs that would one day become sacrifices. She says, to me, this added a completely new dimension to the study of Jesus' birth. It added a total different dimension, thinking about how God could work through the details and make sure that Joseph and Mary and Jesus got to the right place, Migdal Eder, where the sacrifices of the lambs would take place. And all of this was done because they wanted to go to the inn, but there was no room in the inn. But God said, keep on walking. I've got the exact place that I need you to be at. Often the old theologian Sherry Driscoll Griven, she writes, the men in the field, listen to this, before the angels are specially trained as shepherd priests. Like David before them, they are trained in Torah and the priestly rites, dedicated to the service of the temple and its sheep. They know the prophecy of the Messiah's birth is not only specific to Bethlehem, but Micah testified it would happen at Migdal Eder. Yes, I looked at the scripture, Micah 4:8, that 1977 version. It says, and as for you, tower of the flock, heel of the daughter of Zion, to you it will come, even the former dominion will come. Messiah, that's what it's talking about. The kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Isn't that good? Think about Jesus. Other theologians surmise that the swaddling cloth were actually torn, listen to this, from old worn priestly garments. Ha, you're with me. Think about that. They're in Migdal Eder, this tower of a type, a kind of cave-looking structure. They're there where the sacrifices of the lambs would make, and the Lamb of God is birthed in that exact place. And so they didn't have anything to really swallow them properly, so they looked around, and old priestly garments were there. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph working, and Joseph rips those priestly garments, and then he swallows and wraps Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, the King of Kings, the priestly Lord, right there laying in the trough for us. I'm telling you, I'm excited to think about the wonders of God. Look at Luke 2:17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Here's another point. Go and tell somebody. How can you not tell somebody when all of these things come together? Mark 6:15, we've got a mandate. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Think about Jesus. As you process all of this, think about, they're excited. They get to the place where Jesus is, where the sacrificial lambs had been slain there, but now they see the Lamb of God. They know this is the fulfillment of the prophecy. Everything is coming together. Now they got to tell somebody. If you know Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, how can you keep them to yourself? How can you not tell somebody about what he's done in your life? I'm talking about, think about Jesus. Notice this next verse, Luke 2:19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Here's another point. Weigh in on Jesus. Weigh in
on Jesus. Now this is a critical point here. Oftentimes we kind of read through the scripture and we kind of look at it, but I studied in the Greek and I looked at this ponder. What ponder actually means? It means to weigh. She took it all these details. We couldn't get into the end. Now we're at this Migdal Elder, this place where lambs were sacrificed. The shepherds get there. All these details are taking place, having to go to Bethlehem because of the census and the taxation. All of these come together, and she weighs in on it. Yeah, she weighs in on how heavy it is. I got a scale here. This weighing is the same thing. When we want to weigh certain foods, we'll put it on the scale and we'll put it down. And the heavier the food is, guess what? The higher the weight. That makes sense. Some of you get on your scales at home and you stand there and you look at them on a daily basis and you're hoping that the scale goes down. But because of COVID-19, the scale is going up. And we know the heavier we are, the higher the weight is. And that's why we got to weigh in on Jesus. I surmise and I put before you, some of us haven't weighed in on Jesus. No, we don't understand how heavyweight he is. We don't understand how heavy the thought is. We don't understand what it cost him to die for us, what it cost him to be a sacrifice for us, what it cost God to put all these things together. I want you to weigh in on Jesus today. As we're going through our struggles of life and we're stressing out sometimes, you need to weigh in on the fact that Christ has paid the price for us. I am so glad to let you know today, as we think about Jesus and we think about his glory, that God is enough. Look at Luke 2:20, and we're gonna bring this together. I done got excited. It says, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Final point. We're going to tie this up today. It's time to praise him. Yes. It's time to praise him. Saints of God, I just want to know if you've given some praise. As we're going through this year, and some people are ready for 2020 to be over, and they're ready to go into the next year. I don't want you to go into the next year without giving him a good praise. I know we don't have a choir to come into your houses or your cars and kind of get you riled up. We don't have a praise team. We don't have musicians to hit those right chords for you, but I just want to know if there's some folks out there say, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, are there any excited saints? I want you to think about Jesus. I want you to think about the fact that God said at the precise time, I'm going to make sure that my son comes in and breaks into humanity, and the only way that they can be redeemed, he has to be like them, he has to look like them, but he still has to be 100% God. So I'm going to allow my Holy Spirit to come into Mary and produce the vessel that Jesus will be in, because he's always been with me. He's birthed and he grows up at the age of 12 and tells his mom and daddy, don't you know it's time for me to get about my father's business? At the age of 30, he walks the streets of Galilee. He prophesies to them and lets them know, I am the King of Kings and I am the Lord of Lords. I am the Good Shepherd. Yes, I'm the one that came out of Bethlehem. Him, but please understand, I've always been there. But he didn't stop there. He healed the sick and he raises the dead. He walks on water, does all these things, teaches like none other. But we find him not stopping there, going to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He's beaten all night long, but he goes to the cross of Calvary, nails in his hands and nails in his feet. He's fulfilling the plan of redemption for us. There on the cross, he carries our sins and bears our griefs, because he is the sacrificial lamb. Yes, that lamb that was born in Bethlehem goes to the cross of Calvary. There he becomes our sacrifice. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold tomb, a cave of a type. But please understand, he stayed there the first day. He stayed there the second day. But on the third day, he got up with all power and all glory. I'm telling you, this is a heavyweight thought. He got up for you and me, and now he's on the right hand of the Father, interceding for the saints. I want you to think about Jesus. Yes. There's so many stresses now. So many things have changed, but one thing has stayed the same. Christ and what he said in his word. It hasn't changed. We've changed a lot, and we put what we wanted to put around the word, but please understand, this is a simple truth. Christ entered into time for us And now he's seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Think about Jesus. I want you to ponder on that thought. I want you to weigh in on the thought that Christ is more than enough in any situation you may be encountering right now. No matter what stresses have been put on your life, Christ is more than enough. If you don't know him, if you don't have a relationship with him, would you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart today that the Father is raised him from the dead and said, you will be saved by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Accept him today. Think about Jesus. Think about all the prophecies that were just fulfilled in these scriptures that I read today. And there were many more I could have laid out to you. Prophecies that were prophesied from prophets of old that were fulfilled in Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One. He is the Savior of the world. Maybe you have a relationship with him, but you haven't been pondering on him. You haven't been weighing in on him. You haven't been thinking about Jesus. Yeah, you kind of put him in the cursory. You've gone and you've done so much other stuff, but you hadn't been thinking about Jesus. This is your time to pull it back in and think about the one who died for you, but yet got up on the third day for you. And now enables us to live in his righteousness, in his holiness. Think about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you left it for us to peruse and walk through. Oh, thank you for the breadcrumbs that you've left. And oh, the shining lights to understand how detailed you are. But yet, Lord, even in those details, sometimes you leave out things so we never would get caught up in other stuff, but we would always depend on you. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Today, help us to think more and more about you. Oh, we give you praise. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I can depend. I can depend on God. Yes, I can depend. I can depend on God. Through the storm, through the rain, through sickness, through the pain, I can depend. Ooh, ooh, yeah. I can depend. I can depend on God. Yeah, I can depend. I can depend on God. Through the storm, through the rain, sickness, through the pain, I can depend on God. Well, I remember that day, I remember the hour, fill my soul with his Holy Ghost power. I was lost, couldn't find my way. You stayed with me each and every day. I was sick, couldn't get well. You healed my body, now I can tell. I can depend on God. Well, I can depend. Yeah, can you depend on God? I can depend on God. Oh, through the storm, through the rain, through sickness, through the pain, I can depend. I can depend on God. Well, I can depend on God. Yeah, I can depend on God. I can depend on God. Yeah, through the storm, through the rain, through sickness and the pain, I can depend on God. Yeah, I remember that day. I remember the hour, saved my soul with His Holy Ghost power. I was lost, couldn't find my way, and He stayed with me each and every day. Brother Pettiford, you were sick, couldn't get well. He healed your body so you could tell. You can depend, I can depend. I can depend on God. Well, I can depend. Yeah, I can depend on God. Oh, I can depend. I can depend on God. Yeah, through the storm, through the rain. Through the pain, I can depend. I can depend on God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can depend on God.
Think about Jesus. Wow. I want you to go back through the scriptures and just ponder. Weigh in on Christ. He's more than enough in whatever situation you're going through. Christ wants us to get to know Him better than anything else in our lives, to love Him with everything that's in us. Don't take for granted how heavy Christ is and the awesome price that He's paid for us. Well, until we meet again, you be blessed.